Some bands are obscure for a reason. They just weren't very good. Others had bad luck. The Pretty Things were in the latter category, a band spun off from the early Rolling Stones that had a lot of the same energy, but never toured the U.S. and barely even released any records here during their heyday. Rock historian Ed Ward says they're worth remembering. You can listen for yourself on a recent compilation called Come See Me, The Very Best of the Pretty Things.
The story I've always heard was that Dick Taylor was asked to leave the Rolling Stones because he was too ugly. Looking at early pictures of Bill Wyman, that's hard to believe. But it's a fact that Taylor was in a very early version of the Stones, and looking at pictures of the band Taylor formed after he left, it's clear that calling them the Pretty Things was ironic. For one thing, Taylor sported a beard, unheard of in Beatle-era rock bands, and the other four Pretty Things had more hair than any two other bands combined. Signed to Fontana Records in 1963, their first record, Rosalind, which oozed Stonesy attitude, didn't chart, but late in 1964, their second one did.
I'm on my own, just wanna roll.
Don't Bring Me Down did pretty well, holding its own in the British top ten against such competition as the Beatles' I Feel Fine and the Kinks' All the Day and All of the Night, not to mention the Stones' Little Red Rooster. Unlike all of those records, though, it got no attention in the United States, if it was even released at all. Instead of trying to conquer America against such daunting and well-managed competition, the Pretties did something very smart. They concentrated on continental Europe, becoming stars in places like Germany and France, and especially the Netherlands, where their anarchic stage act caused a riot in 1965. They also toured New Zealand, with the result that they are still banned from entering that country. The two central figures in The Pretty Things were guitarist Taylor and vocalist Phil May, whose rough voice was ideal for the rough music the band played. But the other musicians shifted around, particularly, no Spinal Tap jokes, please, the drummers. Taylor and May wrote most of the singles, usually with a third band member, and so there was no distinctive Pretty Things songwriting, which is not to say that there were no good songs.
I've never seen the people I know.
Midnight to Six Man, which hit the British charts in the summer of 1966, was their last chart single there, which is no wonder, because the Pretty Things, like a lot of other bands, were, as they said back then, going through changes. Wink, nod. What could be funnier than a song about money, referencing the British symbols for pound, shilling, and pence, or L, S, and D, especially in 1966. But it was typical of the Pretty Things' attitude. They probably knew it'd never get on the radio, but what did they care? As for the other kind of LSD, they turned out to be pretty good at psychedelic music, too.
Sitting alone on a bench with you, mirrored above.
Deflecting Gray came out at the height of British psychedelia, 4.5 minutes of bizarre juxtaposition of sitars, screaming guitars, fey vocals, and moaning bass. It also points out another factor that may have held the Pretties back. Their sound was technically awful. From their first record, the engineering gave them a thin, anemic sound which couldn't have helped. But they weren't through trying to make people listen. Phil May had an idea he wanted to try out, and in 1968, the band released an album called SF Sorrow, a rock opera whose songs all connected. Pete Townsend of The Who heard it and realized something like that could work. With typical Pretties luck, SF Sorrow was released in America on a subsidiary of Motown.
You might be the loneliest person in the world. You'll never be as lonely as me. Yes, you might be the loneliest person in the world. You'll never be as lonely as me. Oh, the sky, it seems dark as I'm walking through a park, but the face, it is too bright to see. Oh, the sun might rise high on an orange kind of sky, but the day, it seems too dark for me. Yes, you might be the loneliest person in the world. You'll never be as lonely as me. Yes, you might be the loneliest person in the world. Your name, it would have to be me.
After that, the Pretty Things story gets confusing, with Dick Taylor leaving the group and a version of the band turning up in the mid-70s on Led Zeppelin's record label, after which Taylor rejoined, or maybe not. Their legacy, however, lived on in the countless German, Dutch, and Scandinavian bands they inspired, and today they tour from time to time, revered as originators of grungy garage rock, progenitors of punk, and a band that never really got its due.
Ed Ward lives in Berlin.